Hello, I'm Dr. Michael White from the School of Criminology and Criminal Justice at Arizona State University. I'm also the co-director of the Bureau of Justice Assistance Body-Worn Camera Training and Technical Assistance Program. With this podcast, we're commemorating the one-year anniversary of the release of the BJA National Body-Worn Camera Toolkit, a resource developed in part as a result of the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing. Today I'm speaking with Sean Smoot about his perspectives regarding body-worn cameras. Mr. Smoot serves as Director and Chief Counsel for the Police Benevolent and Protective Association of Illinois and the Police Benevolent Labor Committee. In those capacities, he's responsible for administering the provision of legal services for over 7,500 legal defense plan participants. As the organization's primary legislative advocate, Mr. Smoot writes legislation, testifies before legislative bodies, and speaks often regarding police and labor-related topics. Mr. Smoot also serves as the elected treasurer of the National Association of Police Organizations, a national law enforcement advocacy group representing over 250,000 police officers. He served on the advisory committee for the National Law Enforcement Officers' Rights Center in Washington, D.C. since 1996. He was admitted to the United States Supreme Court Bar in June of 2011. Mr. Smoot is a member of the Executive Session on Policing and Public Safety at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. He also holds several certificates in police union leadership from the Harvard Law School. And last, in 2014, Mr. Smoot was appointed by the President of the United States to the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing. Thank you for joining us today, Sean.
It's a pleasure to
start,
be back
Sean. Could you just talk about some of the ways in which body-worn cameras were discussed in the listening sessions before the President's Task Force, both in terms of the formal testimony, but also the public comment?
Sure, I would be happy to, and it's a real pleasure and honor to be with you today as we celebrate kind of the one-year anniversary of the final report being released. The task force actually took a good deal of live witness testimony that included several references to body-worn cameras throughout the task force proceedings. But in particular, the task force, when it had its listening session related to technology and social media in Cincinnati, we actually had a witness present, a sergeant from the Fort Worth Police Department named Rick Van Houten, who actually wore a taser Axon camera during his testimony to the task force, and then was kind enough to provide us with a demonstration after the testimony, showing us, you know, showing the task force members kind of how that, how the camera worked and how he used it in his duties, performing as a street patrol officer in the city of Fort Worth. We heard a lot of testimony about the promise of body-worn cameras as a technology, not just as a tool for evidence collection for officers, but, you know, some officers even referred to the presence of a camera as having a kind of a technological silent partner there to assist them and witness and then testify as to what their conduct was. And several officers who submitted testimony indicated they thought this was a very helpful tool for them as they performed their work, and certainly enhanced their ability to make that type of record beyond what even dashboard cameras, which are fairly widely used now, provide.
Excellent. Thanks, Sean. As you mentioned, the body-worn cameras were prominently featured in the technology and social media pillar, both in the testimony as well as the final report of the task force. Could you talk a little bit about how you see body-worn cameras fitting into the other pillars?
Absolutely. So, you know, the first pillar is building trust and legitimacy. And that piece, building trust and legitimacy, is kind of wrapped in this theory of procedural justice. And I think, and it's a two-way street. I don't think a lot of people understand it as well as they should. But in terms of having internal procedural justice and legitimacy within the police organization, and then external procedural justice in the way in which members of the agency interact with the public. You know, one of the great assets that cameras provide in terms of building trust and legitimacy is actually, you know, making that record. And you see this kind of borne out in terms of public opinion. For instance, last week the New York Times and the Kaiser Family Foundation released a poll that they took in the city of Chicago. And they polled over 1,100 citizens randomly throughout the city of all different demographics. And one of the questions they were asked was in relation to police-involved uses of force and review of police-involved uses of force. And they were asked to identify the things that they felt would be effective in reducing the number of officer-involved shootings. The number one thing identified by citizens, 91% felt that increasing the use of video cameras and body-worn cameras that record as events occur would result in a reduction in officer-involved shootings. So, you know, my point in kind of bringing up the poll is that, when we're talking about establishing and building trust and legitimacy, I think there is starting to be an expectation amongst the citizens and communities at large that the availability of this technology kind of means that departments should be using it. And when they cite, when over 90% of them cite that as a source or an effective source of reducing police-involved violence, I think we really need to pay attention to that. Then, you know, policy and oversight was another of our pillars. Again, this, you know, the cameras provide kind of an electronic, impartial witness to what occurred. So, you know, when we're talking about things like independent review of officer-involved shootings or officer-involved uses of force, you know, the fact that officers actually have cameras, some of which could potentially even show the officer's point of view at the time, be extremely useful under that pillar. In terms of community policing and crime reduction, you know, I think there's some challenges there. On the one hand, building trust and legitimacy certainly advances the core values of community policing. On the other hand, we did hear concerns from both law enforcement and civilian witnesses that there's a concern about the presence of cameras kind of interfering with the relationship officers have one-on-one with members of the communities that they serve. And I think, you know, since the task force report has come out, OJP has done a very thorough review of body-worn cameras, and other groups have done significant work on how to implement body-worn cameras, and including policies that kind of deal with those issues and give officers the discretion to turn off cameras, for instance, when they're having a conversation that a citizen may not want a record of, in terms of maybe getting some information on a crime that had occurred or who had committed a crime, or, you know, some folks, frankly, just aren't comfortable speaking on a camera, having a camera present when they're just having a casual conversation. So I think a lot of the best practices in terms of policy with cameras that have been adopted now have recognized that and allow officers, when they're conducting kind of community care or non-enforcement activity, to turn the camera off. Or at the very least, if a citizen requests, hey, can you turn the camera off? I'd like to talk to you. The officer has the discretion to do that. In terms of training and education, which was another of the pillars, I really see the cameras being an amazing tool. In terms of training for officers, not just in correcting officers' actions, but, you know, going back, and I think if you could, if departments could couple the use of body-worn camera data with Sentinel event review, where they bring everybody who was involved in a certain activity or certain situation together, along with all of the video that would be generated by folks who were wearing body-worn cameras and the dashboard video and video from other sources, and actually sit down and analyze the situation and how it unfolded and who saw what and what was picked up by the cameras and what wasn't. I think it's a tremendous learning tool, particularly for tactics and looking at things like tactical entries and those types of things. And then I want to briefly touch on, you know, officer wellness and safety as was the final pillar. And I think that I see two very significant applications for body-worn cameras under this pillar. One, I think there's been a significant amount of research that has shown now that the presence of the cameras themselves have a de-escalating effect. And so obviously if situations that otherwise would have been, would have escalated, move in a calmer direction that normally equates to less necessity for officers to have physical interaction with suspects or with citizens, and it just tends to make the officers' jobs a lot easier. And the other is, frankly, there's I think Sergeant Van Houten testified about this in his testimony before the task force. There's a bit of a reduction in the stress that officers face when allegations are made against them, when there's when they know that there's a recording of the incident that exonerates them, which isn't there if the camera's not there, and it's one person's word against the other. So from that context, I think it's they also are very helpful.
Great, thanks, Sean. It's interesting because body-worn cameras, as I said, people generally think of them in terms of the technology implications, but you just demonstrated that really, they represent an opportunity for police departments to do good work in all six of the pillars that are identified in the President's Task Force report. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of the concerns or questions that were raised about body-worn cameras during the listening sessions, and particularly because of your background, perhaps you could talk a little bit about the labor of the union perspective on body-worn cameras.
Sure. So I think, one of the primary concerns that were raised, not just by the rank and file officers, but also by citizens, are those of privacy. And very real concern that private conversations or private information could be captured, maybe even inadvertently, by body-worn cameras. And I think that's really a foremost in people's minds. And interestingly enough, maybe coming at it from different angles, but it was interesting to see the civil libertarian kind of view and their concerns about privacy were very much in line with the views of officers and their concerns about privacy, perhaps the mistaken or accidental videotaping of a private conversation between an officer and his spouse on the telephone that occurred, while he was sitting in a squad car or something like that, or the citizen's concern that, officers would be video taping the inside of their homes when they are there on a call for service. So I thought that was those concerns were very very much at the forefront of the discussion. And by the way, I think these are those things are can certainly be addressed with appropriate you know, body-worn camera policies and procedures. The other thing to your, you know, specific question about officer concerns, the other thing that became very evident was of a grave concern to rank-and-file officers is that, you know, body-worn camera data would be used for trolling purposes. In other words, that there would be someone in the department, supervisor or the internal affairs that would essentially just be sitting around watching everyone's video and trying to find officers doing things that are wrong. And in terms of, you know, maybe an officer didn't have his hat on when he should have had his hat on under policy, and then the officer's getting in trouble for kind of these minor types of uniform violations or things like that. Those were really significant concerns, I would say, voiced by the rank and file and union representatives that we heard from. Again, something that can be dealt with policies that prohibit that. In fact, in Illinois, the state legislature passed a law that essentially enabled the use of body-worn cameras by police, and the statute itself prohibits the use of body-worn camera video for in essence what I'm characterizing as trolling or for, you know, identifying minor policy violations on a random basis. So those are kind of the big concerns that we heard from citizens and rank and file officers. The other concern that we heard from on more of a systemic level was just there's a lot of unknowns, and that's always the case when there's technology. Body cameras are relatively new. And in terms of what the cost would be and the kind of what we call the back-end cost of employing that technology would be, was another concern. I think the overriding concern of the task force was that, you know, if we rely too heavily on a technology like body-worn cameras, they could be viewed as kind of the answer to or the solution to all of the problems. And this concern was given voice by a number of witnesses as well, that, you know, in policing in particular, we seem to grab onto something that might be like the latest trend or the latest best practice and say, well, once we do this, you know, once we adopt this technology, all of these problems will go away. Or, you know, putting a camera on every officer is going to eliminate all questionable conduct or all bad interactions with civilians. And I think, you know, people need to realize that using the cameras is like using any other tool. They're extremely powerful tool and they have a lot of promise, but they should never be viewed as the end-all be-all to police and community engagement issues.
This concludes part one of BJA's Body-Worn Camera Podcast with Sean Smoot from Police Benevolent and Protective Association and the Police Benevolent Labor Committee, and Dr. Mike White from Arizona State University. Part two of this podcast will be broadcast in the next episode, so be sure to tune in next time for the conclusion of this podcast. And as always, please remember to visit the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC and submit your ideas for new content through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. Thank you for listening.